I hope you will always pray for your preacher. It's an awesome responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth and to share the truth in fullness. I hope you always remember to do that. Sometimes people just take for granted the preachers preach and the music people sing and all this comes together. But leadership in the kingdom of God is always under attack. Leadership in the kingdom of God is always trying to be quieted in some form or fashion somewhere. So we pray for the Lord to bless us in a very special way. I'm glad to hear a baby cry here today. Amen? Now, it doesn't bother me at all when a baby cries. It just ticks me off when the deacons go to sleep, okay? So I just want us to understand that. Let's just enjoy the hour, okay? Let's just enjoy the hour for the Lord to bless us in a special time at His house. I'm honored to be here to be your preacher today. Pray for the Lord to bless us in a very special way. I'm in a series on the Ten Commandments. Now, as I look at the Ten Commandments, it's been years since I've done a series on this. And I'm excited that I've done this. Remember, the Ten Commandments never makes us smaller. The Ten Commandments frees us. You know what makes us smaller? Sin. Sin destroys us. Sin makes us little. God makes us strong and big. So these commandments, the more we know about them, the more we understand about them, the more free we are. It's amazing as I preach these commandments myself personally, how sometimes I've been snookered. How time I've let the economy of our world and the society of our world and religion of our world take away from the deity of what they mean. And I want to share this with you too. These are God's top 10. Now you may think one's more important than the other. And maybe you sure want to honor that one, but this one here maybe is not that big to you. Well, let me share it. Don't do that. Every one of those are big. Amen? Everyone leans upon another. And so even though you don't see something, maybe that commandment, our first commandment was who we worship. Our second commandment is how we worship. And our third commandment is how we talk about Him. And so it's all about Him and these opening commandments. And these are His top 10. These are real important to Him. And never negate any of them. They all build on one another and they build us in the process. So today we're going to talk about that third commandment, about our words. We need to protect our words in a very special way. Pay attention to our words, the title of today's message. Our words have a way of revealing the identity of a person. I stopped at a little place, Kath and I stopped. We leave early in the morning, there we found a biscuit honey hole. This lady, I wish my grandmother could have met her years ago. She cooks biscuits that melts into my mouth. And we get there, and I walk in there, I just make a little order, and there was about five guys in line, and there was about two of them having a conversation, and one kind of got upset and started cussing a lot. Then another one in the background says, man, you know, you blankety blank shouldn't be saying that, you know. And, you know, this is an average day at a little truck stop, a little stop somewhere, just picking up some biscuits. The vocabulary today, we don't even realize. You've heard it so often. You've heard it so much. It's almost neutralized. It's just the way of the world. But our words and what we say are very important to God. And what we say about Him is very important to God. You can get down who you worship and maybe that Jehovah God who's risen from the dead and honor Him in that. And then how we worship Him and the freedom of that and what that means into our lives. But it's our words that declare it all. Our words declare it all. And so today, we must understand when we come to our attention to our own words, what we listen to, what we say. I think we've all been guilty of misjudging a person, maybe by their dress or maybe where they live and how they live. We've been sometimes quick to stereotype people by their looks and by their actions. But the best way I know to understand a person is listen to their words. Their words will reveal who we are. How we use our words will reveal how we are. This commandment is speaking to God's children and to the world on how to speak about God. how to speak, how to praise Him. Wasn't it great to praise Him this morning? Wasn't this, see, you don't teach the Spirit, you catch it. I hope at home today that when you sang those praises, I hope you got to sing. Man, but when you're in the room together worshiping. And let me just share with you this about what Gus said about these addictions and how it's, we've shut down the church, we've shut down the world. But when you close the house of God down, don't you think addiction has went crazy? You know how many children are being abused today more than normal? You know exactly the vocabulary that's being said. You know how vulgar the world can get so easily? And it's our words that take us where we are. I don't care where you work, sir or ma'am. I don't care what they say in the break room. I don't care how they talk. We don't talk like that. We're different. We need to be different. Now, if I come to your house to visit you, and your vocabulary may not be the best for me, that's your house, and you have the privilege to speak the way you want. But when you come to my house, and your vocabulary isn't very nice, I have a right to speak to that. Matter of fact, I was at McDonald's about 7-8 months ago with my grandson. And my grandson is on point. He points out every wrong thing I do. he says, Grandpa, that's inappropriate. That's his words, inappropriate. I could just backhand him. But anyway, he points it out. We stand at McDonald's, and a guy went through a drive-through, and he came back in, and they gave him the wrong something. And there's this poor little girl, probably about 18 years of age, standing there. And he takes his bag and throws it at her and gives her a couple of blankety blanks, and how in the world can't you ever get anything right? And I just looked at this little girl. Man, what he said to her. I know he was mad. I know he's probably in a hurry. I probably know he didn't like mustard. But you know, he really gave her a good going over. And Dimitri standing there. And Dimitri hits me like this. He says, what are you going to do, Grandpa? I said, well, that was pretty inappropriate. I heard it too. But then he says, give me that. And he took God's name in vain. And I just had to say something. I said, sir, that little girl didn't do this on purpose. And God loves you too much to talk bad about him. And he looked at me. And he says, I'm sorry. He apologized to that little girl. And I'm sure in his heart he apologized to God. But he didn't even know he was saying it. Because that's just the way of the world today. And Dimitri said, that's a good job, Grandpa. I don't like calling people out, and no, neither do you. But my little grandson maybe had never heard that word before. But he heard it at McDonald's standing with his grandpa. Vulgar language, cursing, taking God's name in vain. We're going to look at that in a few moments. Is real important to us. And real important, little girls, boys. You know where I hear all the time little boys and girls say nasty words and the parents always say they probably got it at school? I doubt it. Probably got it at home. And if you're a parent who cusses in front of your children, shame on us to do that. Have you ever thought about the pregnancy of their ears and what it does into their hearts? If you think that's normal, you think that's normal? Listen to this commandment. You're going to have an old me day, okay? And God help us to understand how important it is, our words, and what they mean to boys and girls, what they mean to a wife, what they mean to a husband, what they mean to grandchildren, our words. Do we think about our words? Or is the habits of our life overtaken our words? Or the devaluing of words taken in our lives. I want us to have a picture of what God's thinking about. In God's top 10 today in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, let me read it to you. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. No excuse. He says, as we begin to talk about this, shall not take the Lord's name in vain. I don't care how angry you are. I don't care how painful you are. I don't care how afraid you are. We do not take the Lord's name in vain and say it's okay. Say amen. Because it has been okay. It's not such a big deal today. But it's a big deal today. And God says, I will not hold them guiltless. When they do it, I hear it. And let me tell you about words. Once they're said, you can never take them back. They're said. You can never undo what you've said. It's important to say the right words. He says there will always be in the process. I clipped this several years ago, and I was able to pull it out of my archives. I thought I remembered that. And I found it. In Michigan, the appeals court made a new way of turning an old law about cursing. Let me read it to you. This was News Enterprise several years ago. A Michigan man's conviction was thrown out. A Michigan appeals court struck down a 105-year-old law against using vulgar language in front of women and children, throwing out the conviction of a canoeist who let loose a stream of cuss words after he fell into the water. So this man was out in a canoe, and there was a law that you couldn't use vulgar language in front of women and children. You know, when I grew up, men always cursed. Very few times did you ever hear a girl or lady curse. Today that isn't so. Today they cannot curse any man in the world. It is just there. It's changed tremendously. But this guy, he broke the law by cursing in front of women and children, and they took him to court. A 3-judge panel of Michigan Court of Appeals on Monday ruled in favor, I'm not going to read his name, who was found guilty by the county jury swearing after tumbling into the rough river. He was fined $75, ordered to work 4 days in a child care program, but the sentence was put on hold while the case was being appealed. Enacted in 1897 and slightly reworded in 1931, the state law that anyone using indecent, immoral, obscene, vulgar, and insulting language in the presence of hearing of a woman or a child should be guilty of misdemeanor. The appeals court said it would be difficult to convince the statute, to convene a statute that would be, because it's too vague, and that if the violating of the First Amendment guarantees free speech. So on the First Amendment right, they threw out what God says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It's amazing how the appeals court just denounced what God said because it's too hard to keep that law. Well, we don't have to take it to appeals court nowadays. It's just a way of life. Now, once the horse is out of the barn, pretty hard to catch the horse, right? The vulgar language today is out of the barn. You can't watch a TV show. You can't even watch them do anything without vulgar language. It's horrible. God says, be careful. Whatever you say in vain about me in the language of your lips will be held not guiltless for your life. Remember, this is in the top 10. This is what he says. This makes a difference when this court of appeals, it makes a difference between right and wrong. See, in America, it's about my rights and your rights, women's rights, baby's rights, everybody's rights. It's never about what's right. And whenever we read the Bible, and the Bible says it's wrong, and the court of appeal trumps it, we don't know what is right. But let me help you here. The Word of God is right. God is truthful. God is loving. He's not mad at us and wants to control our language. He's trying to bless our lives. He knows what foul language will do to a man. He knows how foul language will make you look so small. Let me give you this. I read this week. I was studying about this and thought it was pretty neat. King David didn't have any trouble taking on that giant. Man, King David looked at that giant. He said, I'll take him. You know why? He heard that giant come out cursing God. You know what cursing God does to somebody who loves God? It makes them small. You know, I don't care who you are. When you start using this kind of language, it just makes you small. And when David heard that giant curse God, it made him look so little, he picked up a handful of rocks and whooped him. He wasn't afraid of him because his language made him little. And our language can make us little very quick. So I want you to understand this. What is right is according to God's Word. And it's important to understand God's Word in a society today that doesn't value it. Because we've got the Court of Appeals that protects our rights. We now have the rights for men to marry men, women to wear men. We have rights since 1973 to kill babies. It's rights. Understand, Jeremiah says, God called me to be a preacher before I was when I was in my mother's womb. Remember when Mary and Elizabeth got together and Jesus, John the Baptist was there and they leaped in their belly? Remember that? But yet we have the rights now. And so we don't know right from wrong. The Bible says there'll be a day when wrong becomes right and right becomes wrong, and we're in the day. The Supreme Court says we're wrong. The Appeals Court says we're wrong. Only thing I can say is God's Word is the only way to go. It's truthful. It protects me. It frees me up. It blesses me. So words are so important. And so let's understand the commandment in vain. The word vain translates vanity. The word means empty. It is unimportant. It's silly. It's frivolous. Frivolous speech. It's insecure. It's not important. So whenever we take God's name and devalue it in any way, it's frivolous. It's empty. It's vanity. You know the reason why I enjoyed singing about the praises of God today? It's all about how great His name is. It's all great His love for us. And when we lift His name up and we declare His righteousness and we declare His love, it fills the room with a spirit that you can't buy. It fills the room with a cleansing that you can't get. It just changes our lives. It stresses us. Because see, when vanity comes, you never take God's name and you make it less important than it is. You don't ever lower any way God, because He's a holy, righteous God, and He demands respect into our lives. It must hurt God when He finds us taking Him into emptiness and vanity. It hurts God and all of mankind. We must never disrespect the words of God, and our words should always be edifying to who He is in our lives. A couple weeks ago, I was in a courtroom. I got a lot of friends who go to court. And they needed some support that day. I was there. And when the bailiff walks out, he's standing there, and here comes the judge. Would you all please rise in the honor of, named our judge. It's kind of a respectful moment. You'd be nuts to be in that jail, in that courtroom, and not stand up. I believe they'd take you out of there in a second. Please rise. When that was happening in the courtroom, my mind went to this. One day in the court of life, when Jesus entered the judgment seat of Christ and we Christians are standing there in front of Him, He's not going to ask us to stand. The Bible says when we stand before God, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Will not be no bailiff declaring for us to stand. There'll be the presence of God that brings us to our knees. The presence of God that brings us to our reckoning. The presence of God that are crying for mercy. We will kneel kneel before this God who died for us. We will kneel before this God who created us. We'll never use any vanity at all about Him. We'll never lower His name. We'll respect Him with the deity that He is. The sitcoms, 10, 11 o'clock at night, all their comedians always make fun of God and church and Christians. And Christians laugh just as much as anybody else. The frivolity of talking about God and His house. It's a normal reaction into the world we live in today. So it's our words that count more than anything that we have. It's our dignity that counts and helps us in all that we are. Let me give you some few little phrases. It may help you understand how easy that is. How about this phrase? For the love of God, we make our decisions. Oh, for the love of God, we just use that word. Why in God's name? We use that saying. For God's sake, we use that saying. Well, God forbid that I. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We don't never need to invoke this powerful name in God in frivolous ways. This is Jehovah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a God of respect and demands it, and you will not be guiltless when you use those words. And He is a righteous God. He's a loving Savior, but He's a wartime God. He understands. We must understand. Now, cursing is a horrible thing. I tell people all the time who are raising children, I don't know how many times I've been in the hospital room and that mommy and daddy's holding a little baby. How many times I've said, this is the most precious gift God ever gave you. May He never hear you curse in His lifetime. I say that because it's important for that baby to never hear those parents curse in their lifetimes. They're going to hear it at McDonald's. They're going to hear it everywhere they go. They're going to hear it at school. But may they never hear it from their moms and dads. Because the ears of that child is impregnated by your voice, Dad. By your voice, Mama. And may the God be so esteemed that a little baby grows up to learn to love God with all of his heart, his soul, and mind. Because he had a mommy and daddy that taught him good words. And edified their God. Sang those little songs to them. For God so loved the whole world. Sing the joys of God. It means so much to children. It means so much. I had a guy at Franklin Crossroads Baptist Church I witnessed to for about probably 7 or 8 years. I have a top 10 most wanted list of lost people. Do you have any? You pray for any lost people? You pray for any lost people? If not, why not? If you're not praying for lost people, well, why not? The reason why I'm here, to be light of the world, I'm going to go preach at this church plant about being light tonight. So, lost people. Well, he got saved. And the reason why I didn't want to get saved, you tell me, preacher, I just got a terrible vocabulary. I just cuss so much, I'm almost ashamed, but it's just a habit. I don't mean nothing by it, just a habit. I grew up in the Air Force, as a mechanic, I worked in the shops. Cursing was a way of life. As life becomes so important, this young man gave his heart to Christ. Baptized him at Franklin Crossroads. We just had our new building. We had a baptistry probably about 25 foot in the air. It was a great day. He was my first candidate. And man, I was excited to baptize him that day. And when he came out of the water, he said, Brother Ron, this is a blankety blank day. He cussed in the baptistry. Now that'll make you feel good as a preacher, huh? You wonder if that boy got saved or not. But here's what he did. He looked at me. He looked at congregation. He hugged my neck and he started crying. And he cried. For the first time in his life, there was a Holy Spirit to remind him what right is and wrong is. And he was really saved. He just got to get over his hang-ups. Amen? That's how I knew he was saved. It happens. It does happen. Those important things. As I worked as a mechanic for years for a utility company, when we first got out of the Air Force, and I was working there in that shop, and everybody used to call me preacher and give me a hard time and all this kind of stuff. So every time I'd hit my thumb or scrit, you know, or bust your knuckles or something, it's real easy to cuss, right? Say, yeah, it's real easy to cuss. So I learned to say some sugar words. I just say sugar. Oh, sugar. Didn't sound bad. They couldn't ever catch me. But I didn't want anybody to hear me cuss. Because if they hear me cuss, every witness I ever shared just went down the drain. My words mean a lot, and so does yours. So find ways to edify God and to find the ways He wants us to be. I want to take you to the book of James very quickly about the tongue. You ever have a problem with your tongue? Say amen. You said that too quick. You said that too quick. I hear that, Steve. I got it. Okay. In chapter 3 of the book of James, let me read in verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Number one, you can practice not cussing. You can try not cussing. But the tongue is full of poison. Pretty evil. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. With it we go to church and pray, and we go to work and cuss people. Who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be. Does it spring forth fresh water and bitter at the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? There is no spring can yield both salt and fresh. Your tongue is controlled by your heart. What's in your heart, your mouth will say. That's the reason why, if you really want to know where your children, your teenagers' children are, listen to their music. If they listen to nasty music, they got a nasty heart. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying they're good little boys and girls. But I'm saying their heart is becoming nasty because their mouth will declare it. It starts in your heart. When God purifies your heart, it'll control your tongue. You'll talk better. You'll speak better. You'll be better. So the vanity of we as Christians, God's children, we're under accountability to never take this God in any type of vanity. It's important to speak the right words all the time. If you've ever had some really nasty words to say to your wife or your husband or your children, it'll go a long way to ask them to forgive you. It'll go a long way. They know you're not perfect. They live with you. You're raising them. But they know when you're trying, it'll go a long way. It'll go a long way in heaven too. God will forgive us. Amen? He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It goes a long way. So don't just think you can just say that last year. In all my years of doing counseling, most of the pain of that marriage happened years ago. And he may have forgot about it, or she may forget about it, but they never forgot those words. And when we get back to the main problem, it's usually to do with words or money. One or the other. And we must be protective of our words. God said so. No matter what Michigan court says, God says so. No matter what TV says, God said so. So we must control our mouths. Our tongue needs to come under the leadership of Christ and His power in our name, because it will always make you small when you curse. I was on the elevator in the Louisville hospital. This guy get on the elevator, man. He had this He had this look of probably a doctor, but he was dressed in a heel and a suit and a tie, and he was talking to a nurse. And what he said to that nurse was so nasty. I just wanted to say, I didn't say a word. But I looked at his dress. I looked at his probably abilities. And those four words made him little in my sight. Those four words. You know the reason why you have a hard time witnessing to people, inviting to church? Because they remember your words. It's hard to do. It's hard to invite people to church when you don't talk right. It destroys our witness all so much. It's important. The vanity that comes in our lives. How do you overcome vanity? How do you overcome cursing? How do you overcome your tongue? Well, let me give you the best illustration in the world. The guy named Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, he was a fisherman. He cussed a lot. He lived with Jesus for 3 years. Coming right down to the time of his death and resurrection and all those big days, he had a little cursing episode. It wasn't good. In Matthew chapter 26, I want to read in verse 72. This was Jesus at his resting, and the disciples were afraid. They're going to kill Jesus. They know they were next on the list. I understand all that. But see, the disciples, you know what he's trying to do? He was trying to literally distance himself from God. He wanted to distance himself. He didn't want them to think he was one of his disciples. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing you can do to distance yourself from God is curse. It's nasty. It says, but again, he denied with an oath. I do not know that man. He denied him. And after a little while, who stood by came with him and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them because your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And all of a sudden, Peter remembered the third commandment. He remembered it. God told him. In verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus when he said, before the rooster crows, you shall not meet three times. Then he went out and he wept bitterly. He was like my buddy in the baptistry. He wept bitterly. I want to close with this. Just a short time later in the book of Acts, Peter recorded and preached the greatest message ever preached because God cleansed his words. God changed his life. Preached probably the greatest sermon ever recorded in our Bible in Acts. This God that was cursing him is now declaring righteousness, thankful for forgiveness. That he could preach a sermon where thousands would be saved in Jerusalem. And Jesus couldn't do nothing in Jerusalem. They killed him. But Peter is now preaching and thousands are coming because God cleansed his words when he repented. That's how you do it. When your heart gets right, your words will get better. When your heart is right with Christ, things and difference change all around our world today. Ask yourself, how are my words? Are they frivolous? Do we disrespect God and who we are? Is our words empty? Do we look small to people? Take a stand. Take a stand. I had a business transaction going on in my life probably about 3 months ago. Pretty big transaction. I was talking to a person. We was coming down to the final lines. And I was kind of sharing my point of view, and the guy kind of got upset, and he started cursing. Started cursing. I picked up my papers, and I said, I'll see you later. He says, what's wrong, Ron? I said, you know what? If you got to go there because you disagree with that, I don't want you any part of my deals. He said, what do you mean, Ron? I said, you know what? It broke my heart when I heard you curse. It made you little in my eyes. and I don't feel like I'd be a good person to do business with. That person, he called me that night, and he shared with me what that meant to him, how broken he was. He didn't even realize he did it. And the next day, I went to his office. We signed a deal. I got a good deal, and he got a good deal. He learned how cursing can destroy a life. So I want you to understand this. Sometimes we look at those commandments and think one's really important. That commandment can't be that bad. It's pretty bad to God, because whenever you do that, you lower God. Because who do you worship? How do you worship? And how do you respect Him? With your mouth. That's where it's at. Amen? When I was a young boy, about 15 years of age, I grew up in a Baptist church. I know all about Baptist fights. I don't know if Methodist fights are good as Baptists, but we sure do a good job. I heard a guy get up in that church that night and use vocabulary that wasn't appropriate in church. If Dimitri was there, he'd say, "Inappropriate!" And I jumped up, and I was going to write that wrong right there. And my mother grabbed me by my hair and set me down and said, "Sit down, Ronald. God will take care of that." And I know He would. What is said in Baptist churches has broken many people's hearts. What is referred to in the heat of the battle. You wonder why people don't come to church? The number one reason is they've been. And God help us, because it's our words that blesses Him or denies Him. And He hears our words, and so does others. I love when people get red in the face and say they love me. It just don't fit. May our words be strong. And let me just say this. We'll never have perfect words. We'll always make mistakes. But be like Peter. Repent and confess, then preach your sermon. Amen? It makes all the difference in the world.